My name is Jamie Piles. I joined Samaritan in December of 1996. We were homeschooling our kids and we were already thinking outside the world's box, if you will. And I saw a little tiny classified ad about this new kind of idea I'd never heard of before. My first reaction was, that's the kind of thing that we would do, isn't it? And so I finally called the number, talked to them, and the more I asked them questions, the more I liked their answers.
The American church really is gay.
Are you asking me out on a date?
Effeminate.
The Bible appears more to whisper when it comes to sexual sin.
Shallow.
I said, I want the African-American seven.
And full of cowardly leaders.
Are we going to keep bickering over secondary issues?
America desperately needs to return to the Father. Either we fall on the rock and are broken, or we fall on the ground and are crushed under that rock. To fall on top of the rock and be broken is exactly the condition in which God brings reformation and revival. So which way is it, prodigal America? Are you coming home to the Father? Join us this Reformation Day in Fort Worth, Texas, October 31st through November 2nd at Will Rogers Event Center, just days before our presidential election. And join with the thousands of us for the blessing of gathering together with God's people and celebrating God's goodness with beer and psalms, hear from speakers such as Dr. James White, Pastor Toby Sumner, Pastor Doug Wilson, Dr. George Grant, Gaben Knox, Steve Dace, and more. Don't forget our Business Makers Conference, jumpy castles for the kiddos, after parties, single events, the pastor's luncheon, the business leader's luncheon, and many more surprises coming. America has squandered her inheritance far too long. It's time she repents and returns home to her Father. Fight, Laugh, Feast presents Prodigal America.
There's no way to do it outside of God raising up preachers who preach a hot gospel and church planting. There's no way to do this politically.
You got to make the country Christian again.
That's right. Basically, we're in such a mess. Amen. That there is no political solution.
We're
beyond hope. There is no political solution. The next election, however happy it might make us for 10 minutes, is not going to fix everything.
That's right.
Okay. Our disease is radical and it's spiritual. We've got a radical leprosy. The United States needs to repent of its sin, to use an old-fashioned term. We need to repent of our sins, our arrogance, and turn back to God. That's what is necessary. And we need preachers who are willing to tell them to do that.
Go! Pastor Wilson! On Tucker Carlson, that show dropped Monday, which is also, you know, tax day. You know, April 15th, tax day. Very sad.
I think that's from God.
You do, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Because the day that everybody's they feel those chains. You feel the jingle? You feel
the jingle, those chains.
I want it.
You know, you feel that, yeah. That masses knee on the back of your neck.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You're going to turn to the Lord. You're going to cry out for deliverance.
Help us!
Let us be free.
Help us, Lord!
Yeah, but or are you just going to keep turning to your old gods?
Take that's the right. chains away!
And the gods is looking toward the state, looking to the next election, the political solution to your problems. Those are all the gods of Egypt that God's like, you know.
We got a gospel problem.
I triumph over them.
That's right.
But of course, this is deep.
So I know this is way late. Here we are in April.
Yes.
And we decided back in December or January.
No, it was by November.
It was like November.
Was it November?
It was November.
Okay. And this is all my fault. But we decided every year we wanted to give the JL award to, you know, a woman who we think is, you know, a godly woman, a mother, and doing good work raising kids, and also
it's
shooting a little arrow here and there.
Well, you know? a little arrow.
Come on. It's called JL for a reason.
Arrow. There's not an arrow.
A big arrow.
It's
all right?
A stake.
So we have this.
With a hammer.
That's right.
So to go through a skull.
JL award this year, 2023. Yes. Year of our Lord, 2023.
Yeah, so it was actually last year.
It's for last year. So for last year, JL Award goes to Megan Basham.
Megan Basham.
Megan. I'm going to send this to you. This is probably about a 25-pound trophy.
Megan, may your tribe increase.
But we
and it was decorated by me. So I made this. I actually called multiple outlets trying to find.
Did you paint the blood on there?
I painted the blood on there.
It's got a little Moscow mood on it.
Yep. And then I made it magnet. So it comes apart so I can ship it to you.
Okay.
So in case you really use that thing, you runs out of ammo.
My hand's shaking because it's so heavy.
Megan has been doing amazing work.
Yes.
Amazing work. She's a wife and she's a mother.
Yeah. Yes.
That's heavy.
She's a woman in the tents.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, like JL.
Yep.
Bless God.
But you know, in her spare time.
Yep.
In her spare time, she's taking down the Siseras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's pounding stakes in the heads of the serpent's offspring.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Meg is a good friend and we appreciate her work. And God bless you. Keep it up. And we're really, really grateful for the work Megan's doing.
So next year I'll be a lot quicker.
Hopefully we'll have this ready to go January.
I had to customize this. I'm sorry, Megan. I hope you like my art and it's going to improve over time.
Oh, man. That's great. Ever felt like you're just another client? Well, not with Story Real Estate. These guys sit down, hear your story, and then tailor make an experience just for you. It's like your favorite barista, knowing exactly how you like your coffee. So if you want a completely personalized experience, my advice, use Story Real Estate. But don't just take my word for it. Look at their 1,000+ Google reviews. Oh my gracious. Head to storyrealestate.com and start your personalized real estate journey with them today. Oh, there's another ad. Am I supposed to read two ads? No. Okay. For later. Okay. All right.
I just want to recommend. I just we started going through this show. Producing it, and I just want to recommend everybody, listen, I'm not going to fail you on this. Grab you a stiff drink, and if you don't drink, today's a good day to start. Grab you something, I don't care, the hardest root beer you got in the fridge.
Get it out, the old stuff that's been in the back for a while. Maybe it's starting to ferment.
You're going to need it, because if you haven't been paying attention to the news, God bless you.
Well, this is going to illustrate why there is no political solution. Why we need a hot gospel.
That's right.
Why the only way out is repentance and the grace of God.
And bourbon.
All right. Hit it.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both. And whatever they decide must be the law of the land. In this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others,
and
that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart, or in many cases, your religion or your faith. Listen to your heart.
A good work, producer.
Listen to your heart.
That's amazing. I mean, first of all, a lot of people have been attacking Trump. I think the ERLC, the Gospel Coalition, they have all been attacking Trump on this comments.
Oh, they have?
Yeah. But this
even the ERLC.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Okay. They went after him on this.
Here's my question.
But this is actually no different than I think what the ERLC would view. I think the ERLC might be for some exceptions. I think
I don't know.
Let me check on that. But this is what Trump. This is what Bush was for. Bush was for the exceptions. Sure. None of them went after Bush like this.
Well, I think they're for exceptions of, and it comes to prosecution in law, right? They wouldn't move forward on any sort of prosecution for murder. In this situation.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're for exceptions.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. This is different. Very vanilla Republican stance.
It's our governor here in Idaho.
But I think part of the I think there's two things going on though in the reaction to this. Number one is I do think that Trump has at other places been a real champion.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a strong word, but I think he has described the brutality of abortion in more detail than I can remember any Republican president ever. In his debate with Hillary Clinton back in 2016.
He wanted to do 9 months. They want to rip the baby out at 9 months. Yeah.
He's been very, very like, just explicit.
Yeah.
And like, this is what abortion is. And even I think it's in the same talk, he's describing, up to a birth and he's describing how that's wicked.
Yeah.
But then is making room for exceptions.
Like 6 weeks, 15 weeks.
When people are smaller.
Whatever.
When people happen to be smaller.
Yeah.
He's happy to have murder there. The other thing is I also think the fact of the matter is that the determination of many Christians to actually end abortion has significantly increased since George Bush.
Yeah.
I think
it was actually good to see a lot of Christians be mad at Trump for saying this.
So I think part of this is just, I think a lot of people wanting to voice to Trump, like, I mean, I've seen some pretty, I mean, significant guys that are like very vocally supportive of Trump come out after this saying, I've got to rethink my support.
Yeah.
Did Lincoln Duncan throw a grenade? Anybody hear his grenade go
off? No, he couldn't come out of the room.
I'm just wondering if his grenade, because I think this might be a time to throw a grenade. You know, if you thought Trump was done, well, just wait. There's more.
Did Arizona go too far? Yeah, they did, and that'll be straightened out. And as you know, it's all about states' rights, and it'll be straightened out. And I'm sure that the governor and everybody else are going to bring it back into reason, and that will be taken care of, I think, very quickly.
Help me understand something.
He's specifically referring to the Arizona law, and he says to bring it back within reason.
Well, wait, hold on. He just got done telling us it was state rights and that it was up them to listen to their heart. In Arizona,
they listen to their heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
The wrong
and
heart.
And now he's coming back and saying they went too far.
Yeah.
Now, which one is it?
Yeah.
Because your mouth just told me one thing, but you said something else again with the same mouth. So I'm a little confused. I was going to say something else. I've been drinking too much of this, maybe. It might be a little dangerous. So I'm a little confused on what he means, because it sounds like to me that it would be okay to have slavery in some states.
Right.
And not in others, because of how people are listening to their heart.
You got to listen to your heart.
Yeah. Man stealing would be fine over here in Virginia, but then not in New York. Right? That's what he's saying is okay.
Yeah.
Now, I thought we all agree that as a country, this man-selling and man-selling, you know, is actually kind of wrong.
You know, kind of the irony and fun irony, I guess, of it is that this law that the Arizona Supreme Court upheld is from 1864.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
From 1 year before the Civil War ended.
And so even before Arizona was a state, apparently.
Right. It's part of their founding documents.
Part of their founding documents. And so I guess we can't listen to their heart.
No.
I mean, the people decided, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a law. It's on the books.
Yeah.
And if the law's not been repealed, then the Supreme Court is exactly right to say this is the law of the land.
And then if you kill the baby, you can't listen to its heart.
And so.
This is true.
Do we know who the VP for Trump's going to be yet?
I don't.
You know who's up and running who might be his VP? No. This lady.
This total ban on abortion that the Arizona Supreme Court just ruled on is out of line with where the people of this state are. The issue is less about banning abortion and more about saving babies. I agree with President Trump. This is such a personal and private issue. I chose life, but I'm not every woman. I want to make sure that every woman who finds herself pregnant has more choices so that she can make that choice that I made.
What? The issue is less about banning abortion and more about saving babies.
More choices so they can make the choice that
Pastor
I made.
If Pastor Toby wants to have more Negroes for slaves, it's totally fine. But I don't want any, because I think men should be free. But if you don't
think
people
should have the option to own people.
What kind of gobbledygook?
So they can choose to not own people.
Don't logic, it'll hurt. But wait, it gets better.
Oh.
That same mouth also said this.
I don't believe in abortion. I think the older law is going to go into effect. That's what I believe will happen. I don't think abortion pills should be legal. We have a great law on the books right now. If that happens, we will be a state where we will not be taking the lives of our unborn anymore.
I'm incredibly thrilled that we are going to have a great law that's already on the books. So it will prohibit abortion in Arizona. And I think we're going to be paving the way and setting course for other states to follow.
In 2022,
just a year and a half
Lake
ago,
was going around saying that she was
great law
in favor of this law going
great
into
law.
Effect.
She knew it was going to effect. Great law.
Great law. And we're not going to be aborting our babies anymore.
Great law.
We shouldn't even have abortion pills.
I told you. Didn't I tell you to grab you a whip? I told you to grab something stiff.
I listened to some of the videos before we watched the show. I didn't hear this video because I'd gone out of the studio while you guys were listening to them.
That's why you're happier than us.
You know, this is what happens when we start talking about democracy. When you live in a democracy, the people get to decide what good and evil is. This is called idolatry. They're acting like God.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And personally, historically, I thought we didn't like that.
Right.
Right?
No, it's true. Like, I mean, just think about the examples here. So if most of the German people decide that we want to gas all the Jews.
We decide it.
Yeah, the people decide. They followed their heart.
listen to your heart.
Right, they did. And what
I don't like your heart.
Yeah, right.
It's wicked and deceitful. Yeah, above all things.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's why in a classical republic, what we have is you have the people speaking into the process. But there's also, I mean, this is what, I mean, the founders of America, we said this on the show before, the founders of America, we were not interested in a democracy.
Right.
They saw democracy as inherently unstable.
You don't say.
It's inherently.
We just saw it between the two clips.
What they wanted was a republic. And a republic is one where you have various forms of representative government under law.
Yeah, right.
Where there's no king but Christ.
Yes. And there's key kinks in the hose,
right?
Because they saw the unbridled passions of people,
right?
Quickly explode. I mean, they had the French Revolution going on right across the pond from them,
right.
Yeah.
And they said, "We don't want that." And that was that. I mean, the French Revolution was pure democracy, like that so-called pure democracy,
right.
And blood was running in the streets,
right?
And so this, I mean, they wanted the voice of the people. They wanted democratic expression,
right?
And feedback, but the most sort of democratic element in our federal government was actually the House of Representatives,
yeah,
which allowed for the entire House to be voted on every 2 years. But that meant even like you had to be upset for 2 years,
right? Right.
Every 2 years, if we want, we can fire all 500 and some odd number House Representatives. Right. We can fire them all.
Yep.
Every 2 years.
Right.
But it takes 2 years. Right. Even there, it's not just a mass hysteria.
Right.
It takes 2 years. But then you've got a Senate that's got to concur, and that's every 6 years that they're elected, with only a third of them rotating every 2 years. So it's a slower motion. You've got a Supreme Court that's supposed to be walking everything even slower.
Right.
Anyways.
So there's a couple things that I believe that they're counting on. We're talking about politicians. And so these politicians,
she wants the VP position.
Okay. You know it.
Yeah,
and Trump wants to be president.
Yeah.
And so what they're looking at, and this is on the face, everybody knows this, but I'm going to hit it on the head. Then we're going to move to the second thing is they're looking at it and saying the majority of people, because this is what happened when the Republicans, we talked about that red wave and after Roe v. Wade, yeah. Roe v. Wade was first. And we saw all the Republicans not take a victory lap.
Everybody went.
They went super quiet. They didn't talk about it because a lot of the stats were in that the people weren't so excited about Roe v. Wade being taken away and the implications it meant for the states. And everybody's like, yeah, I don't know if I like that.
Right.
And so then they started being real quiet about being very happy about what God just did Roe v. Wade.
Right.
And then we started to see Republicans for the red wave not talk about abortion at all.
Right.
They talked about taxes. They talked about more. They talked about everything except for what we just did with abortion.
It's not a winning issue.
It's not a. That's exactly what they said.
It's not a winning issue.
And so, and then they saw the red wave really didn't come. Yeah. Right. It didn't happen.
Right.
And so now that has been on the table.
Right.
We're coming back up on elections again. The stats still look the same. And the people who we consider our leaders or who are front runners are talking this very, very, very soft game. And here's the reason why. Because they know they have your vote.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
They already have the pro-life
vote. They already have it. Do you understand? They've already calculated that, you're not going to like this. And we know you're going to hold your nose and you're going to talk about what we talked about on the show before. We know you conservative Christians are going to put the pin on your nose.
Yes,
and you're going to go to the voting booth and you're going to vote for Carrie Lake and Trump or whoever Trump decides to pick as VP. Because no matter what, you still would rather this than that. And the reason they're going to get you to do that, and you guys might not agree with me here, but the reason they're going to get you to do that is because you believe that the power is where they are.
Right. Mm.
You believe that if you don't vote for them, you just lost all the power to have any effect in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that you think like this. So then when they decide to say something like this, they know they have your vote because you're locked into they understand the world, cosmology, the power is at the top where it is.
Yeah.
But if the world isn't like that, then every evangelical Christian should say, I'm done. We're not doing it.
Right.
We're not doing it.
Right. Which is why I've been so grateful for the pushback.
Yes.
I mean, when Trump says this and a bunch of the diehard Trumpians were like,
wait a second.
But I think some of this is virtue signaling.
Yeah.
I think some of it is like, we got to say something.
But I am grateful that it's been such a
grateful.
Pushback.
Yeah. I am grateful.
Yeah.
But the pushback, it doesn't that they've already calculated the pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what they haven't calculated. Why haven't evangelicals come out to vote for us this 2024 election?
Right.
And
know it's coming.
They know that if they felt like, honestly, if they honestly felt like we weren't going to vote for them, they wouldn't say this. if they felt like the large form of evangelical, this is what, have you noticed how they massage black people in the conservative movement? They massage, what do you want? What do you need?
Yeah, right.
Come on in.
We need you to stop.
They don't have
We need
them.
You to stop killing babies.
Right.
Right.
You know, and so they've calculated our response to them. And this is why I'm like, you know what? I'm not voting for you. Mm-hmm. I'm done with you. I'm seriously not voting for you, because here's something I've been thinking about this a lot. If the power really is in worship, and if it's really in how we raise, and I'm thinking about local voting. I got to do that one. I feel like I have more connection there with some of the guys who would be in positions of power there. But on the federal level, the power isn't with them, and I think they need to know that.
Right.
I think they really need to know that. And then I want to create a coalition of Christians who are like, you know what? How about we figure out how to network and connect and covenant with each other to build something that doesn't assume the cosmology that those guys are working with.
Right.
And this is something where we don't even have all the time to go into it. Let me tell you something. Us Christians, us people who those guys don't believe are not going to vote. They think we're going to go out. Us folks. We're the new Negroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, a lot of people don't want to believe that, especially I know my white brother's like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But we are the ones who might not have political clout with our worldview that we hold as Reformed Christian folks, and they don't think very much of us. But so long as we stop leaning on them and thinking that the power is with them and start building the kind of covenant institutions locally,
right.
They will be beating down our doors to figure out, well, how do we, what is this?
Right.
Why does this work? Why is it you haven't needed our grain and needed our this and needed our that, and you guys are flourishing and being blessed, and the light's on in Goshen.
I think the thing that I want to say is, so I actually agree with that. The thing that I would... I think want to argue for is I also think that there's a position right next to that. I think the problem
more, way more reasonable than me.
I mean I don't know. If it's
I'm fine with that.
Reasonable, but I guess what I want to say is, so the problem is that we believe in Egyptian gods.
Yes,
and the Egyptian gods are what you're talking about.
Right.
We think that the power is at the top. We think the power is in having all the money, having all the guns, having all the coercion. We think that's the power. And so people in desperation and fear dedicate everything to these campaigns of people who cannot save us.
That's right.
Who are part of the problem.
Right.
And who are propping up all kinds of things that that we hate and despise. But the thing that I would argue for is, I think there is a place where you can stand and say, I don't trust in any of that. I don't trust in horses or chariots.
Right.
I don't trust in kings. I don't trust in Trump. I don't trust in any of these people. And do the very thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think you can do that and still say, but if one of these is going to buy me a few more minutes,
sure.
All right, I'll fill that bubble in.
Yeah, I'm ready to let some of these guys feel that ceiling collapse on their head.
Right, and I get that, and I actually am okay with that. Like, I wouldn't bind somebody's conscience over this at all. I'm saying, I'll wait for the when God wants me to vote, He'll provide me an option.
Right,
I can get my head around that, and I can also get my head around the guy that just says, I'm not like, I don't know if I would even say it's like, holding your nose and voting, that's one way of describing it. I guess it's also like, so Gabe was actually describing this earlier as, do I want God's judgment A or God's judgment B?
Right.
And if God offers you the option between God's, you know, His judgments, there's one sense in which some people be like, yeah, I'm just going to fall into the hands of God. You pick for me, God. Yeah. And that's honorable.
That makes sense, though. And I was thinking about
then
this.
But then there's also the option of, I guess I prefer that judgment.
Yeah, that's
David
fine.
David picked his judgment.
Yeah, David picked census. His judgment in repentance.
Yeah.
Let's not forget the context. Yeah,
right. No, and that's what I'm absolutely saying. If you are voting in desperation, then you're just bowing before that.
That's right.
That pantheon.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep getting more of the same. It doesn't matter in that case. If America votes for Trump and we do nothing different, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
It absolutely doesn't matter. Cause in that sense, and then you haven't repented. You haven't actually gone to the source of real power. You're just feeding the beast.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's important. You actually, if you do vote, you know, you're thinking like David. You know, David did the census.
Yeah.
God called him on it.
And the reason why I want to underline this option is because I think the power really is in God's hands.
Oh, yeah.
And so if there's, I think there's a sense in which you can say, so I think there are some people who check out entirely in a sort of
giving up, you kind of just giving up
inverse form.
Yeah, that's because, the same as this other side. Because
they think the power is in the middle too, and so I think the central thing is no, the power is actually at the right hand of the Father.
That's right.
Yeah, that's where all power has is now located for 2,000 years. It's at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah. And so if you go vote like, okay, I'm just going to pick my judgment.
Right.
I want God to deliver us.
And if
I would prefer, I do think I'd prefer a Trump judgment over a Biden judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a Biden judgment.
Whatever. Whatever happens, I want God to deal with us.
You know what?
We're wicked people.
But fundamentally where that has to happen is in our hearts. It has to happen in our hearts.
Yep.
A full surrender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To Christ.
But I voted differently for Trump in 2020.
Now
I'm like, if I do vote for Trump, I still haven't decided. If I do vote for Trump, I'm voting for a judgment. I'm voting for a certain kind of judgment that I'm ready for.
I just want to give a context of just how bad this really is.
Okay.
Like this is people don't really understand how bad this is.
Yeah.
This is bad. And it's so bad that last week where we talked about Richard Dawkins?
Yeah.
Richard Dawkins was getting it better than our pastors.
That's true.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And once again, here we are, and Bill Maher is getting it better than Christians.
Yeah, Bill Maher.
Not if you believe it's murder. You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing. Or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women. People who aren't pro-life, pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry. We won't miss you. That's my position on that.
Wow.
Why are y'all mad at what he said?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not
Is
sure
that not your
much.
Position if you're pro-choice?
Isn't that mainly because you don't like children? I mean,
I mean, but
they
if
don't
you
either.
Are, you said you're pro-choice. That's your position too.
Facts. That's how
Pierce,
bad it is.
Pierce felt a little bad to answer it that way too. He's like, I am.
That's my position.
This is an atheist.
Yeah, Bill Maher speaking more clearly.
Bill Maher is better than. I feel like the Black Panther. Is this your king?
Yeah.
That's Trump. Is this your king?
Yeah.
Carrie Lake, is this your queen?
Right. Yeah.
This is who you got? And then Bill Maher comes out here, the atheist, and is like, you do know.
Yeah.
I
mean, it kind of is murder.
It is murder. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just fine with that.
Yeah.
And everybody in the audience is like, whoa,
don't say that out loud.
Don't say that in public.
Yeah, we don't say that out loud. Yeah.
And he's swallowed the reductio.
Yeah. Right.
And a lot of Christians, and fortunately for us, we have thought if we can just get them to think it was babies.
Yeah.
If they just knew it was babies. I mean, even R.C. Sproul had to repent of that.
Yeah.
That's where I got that from. Mm-hmm. He's like, it was, our argument has been, if we can get them to, we miscalculated the wickedness of the heart of man.
Wow. Right. Yeah. Right.
Because fundamentally, this is between, it's always a war between gods.
That's what it is.
And fundamentally, and this goes back to the garden, The devil offered Adam and Eve, you will be like God. Be a God. You can be your own God. And if you're God, then you can do whatever the hell you want to
do. That's right. That's right.
Like that. And so if you reject Christ as God, you reject the living God, then you are looking to take his place.
Right.
Mm.
And if you are looking to take his place, then you can murder.
Mm.
Like sometimes it's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it rules 15 weeks. Bill, I don't even believe in the 15-week thing.
Sometimes it's okay. Yeah. There's 8 million people, 8 billion people on the planet. We're not going to miss you.
But he just did something with that, which is really interesting. It's like, you know, I don't understand the 15-week ban. He gets it.
Yeah. Right. And some states it's okay to murder?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean, he totally gets it.
Yes.
But if the people are God, then yes. Right? If you're God, then yes. So either, so this is an Elijah moment. If the Lord is God, worship him.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment.
But if Baal is God, if Demos is God, if the people are God, if you're your own God, then worship him. Yeah. And you can do whatever you want.
Every time that we get to this point in this conversation, politics, whatever it is, I'm always reminded that this stench is coming from somewhere. And so, and we've talked about this a lot. I'm not just trying to, this is kind of like the cliche moment where it's all the church's fault. And it's like, yes, no, but this is a personal responsibility. I keep thinking to myself, it's like, Lord, the first place I want to clean up is in my own house. Like, where am I missing this at? Because somehow this is coming out. The stench is coming out from us, right?
Right.
Like, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven.
Yeah.
So then what's going on with God's people? Right. What are they not doing, and what gods are they worshiping?
We are the light of the world.
Right.
And if it's dark outside, why? It's because we're dark.
And right. So this goes back to the conversation Pastor Wilson was having earlier.
Yeah.
And this is where people are just like, this is not a Jesus juke. This is really the way the world works.
Right. That's right.
Look, you don't get out of this with just better laws and voting the right people in.
Right.
Tucker said it. We got to make America a Christian nation again.
Right.
Right. We need revival.
We got to make the people Christian.
The people need to be Christian. They need to love the Lord.
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you something. This is amazing. When you go back and you start looking at a lot of relationships from slavery on into where they start the civil rights era on past that, there were so many relational things that were going on that were against the law, that the law said you can't let Black people come in the front. Well, I grew up with this guy. I love this guy. He's my brother. We're going to go in the front together. They didn't care about no law. They didn't need no law to govern them. They had the law of God. And it's like, that's how we're going to treat him, like he's made in the image of God.
Right.
And so you had a lot of things that
no one ever tells those stories.
They don't like those stories.
Because you didn't need the government.
You didn't need the government.
Permission.
That.
Yep. Go look at the story with Uncle Nearest and Jack Daniels. It's in there. Yeah. And they weren't looking for that. That's love in Lynchburg. That that's a beautiful story. And that's one of the things they passed by.
Right.
They didn't need the desegregation. They were already desegregated. They don't like to talk about those stories.
Right.
But because of a certain standard and people living in community with each other, fearing God, when you get worship right, it's amazing how it permeates through society.
Right.
And regardless of where you have power or not in what society calls power, because of the way God's made the world actually functions within the context of God's word.
Yeah.
Living in community, loving the Lord, not worshiping idols is more powerful than your vote.
Right.
Right. And those don't have to be put against each other, but that's the kind of... right now, that's what they're counting on.
Right.
Right? Yeah. That's what they're counting on.
Yeah.
And so apart from repentance, apart from the God changing our hearts.
This just goes back to, fundamentally, do we believe the Bible?
Or no? That's right.
Do we believe it or not? Like, is it just a bunch of fairy stories or is it real? And you just read the story of Israel. Read the story of Israel. And they're wicked. They're rebellious. They're arrogant. But when they cry out to God, he hears.
That's right.
Over and over again, he hears. They cry out, and he hears.
What a great ear he has.
It's like, and you're like, why are you listening to them? They're going to forget about you again next week.
And, don't you remember God?
It's like through the wilderness, rebellion and judgment, and they cry out to God, and he hears them. Or in the book of Judges, right? They're worshiping idols. They turn to foreign gods. He sends oppression. They cry out to him and he hears them and he raises up deliverers,
right?
All the way into the kings. Even in the kings, they're wicked. They're sacrificing babies to idols and demons and they've set up high places and they're worshiping false gods and they turn from God. And then somebody says, hey, look, we found a scroll. Look, we deserve God's judgment. God, please have mercy on us. And God says, I'll have mercy on you.
Again.
That's
just not even a cry. Like, cry. This is a joyful moment.
Yeah. Right.
So
that's the deal. Right. Do we believe God or not? There's no political solution to this.
That's right.
There's no political solution because as we look to politics as the solution, you're looking to politics as the savior, and that's just another false God.
Right. Mm.
But if we humble ourselves and we turn back to the living God and we cry out to him and we say, save us, he will.
If you're single, get married. If you're married, have you some kids? And if you have kids, go baptize them. Until tomorrow, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go fight, laugh, and feast. This is Cross Politics.